you know, I get on kicks, Susanna, and then I can't get off of them. I'm just so fascinated with an aspect. And my current kick is second order of effect. And I think it plays into your subject this morning. When you're able to release these monies that have been borrowed now, well, which we'll talk about the interest rate, it's not just the person who receives that money at the nursing home or the doctor's office. It's the person that person owes money to, too. That's a lot of money we're talking about. How much money is going out right now to pay back bills?
So as of a couple days ago that we started paying the money down, which was Wednesday, we released from then until I think it'll be Monday night, $4.5 million with another 1.9 to be probably finalized by the end of Monday as well. So it'll be a total of about $6.5 billion that will, within a few days after that, because of federal matching dollars, turn into closer to around $9 billion. So this is really wonderful news, long overdue. And, you know, like you said, you know, this is not just something that goes into the market once. It's going to get churned over and churned over because people have been waiting. People have continued to work even without getting paid in many instances, not just the providers themselves, but even some of these employees who have been so dedicated to the people that they serve. So this is going to be wonderful for every single entire part of the state of Illinois.
You know, it's interesting. This is the first time I've heard about the federal matching funds, because what I'd heard was $6.48 billion of bond proceeds to go pay the back bills, but I had not heard about the federal matching dollars.
Yeah, so that's the first bills that we paid are Medicaid bills, that most of which qualify for federal matching dollars. And that's how we wanted to use this money, so that we could get the best return on investment per tax dollar. So anywhere that I could spend a dollar that would then be matched by the feds, we want to take advantage of that. So first we have to pay the money, and then it takes a few days for us to get the matches back, and then we start turning them into current Medicaid bills. This is a little bit of a complicated process to explain, you know, in an interview, but just trust me when I tell you that a good, you know, $2 to $2.3 billion will be coming to us from the federal government, which in essence is like free money, right? So we turn that 6.5 into closer to $9 billion, and that's pretty awesome.
What type of people are receiving this money, and how is that prioritized?
So we decided to put that money towards mainly medical bills, but keep in mind, medical bills cover a whole slew, a big gamut, right? So it's not just, let's say, hospitals, but it's also social service providers that deal with anything related to healthcare. So we've got, it's a ton of people, honestly. But unfortunately, there's still going to be close to $8.5 billion, if not a little bit more, of still outstanding debt. So this is really great news for lots of people. It's unfortunately not great news for every single person who's owed money by the state, but we're certainly on a much better track. So doctors who haven't been paid for 2 years, many of those are dentists, for example, they'll start to see some major relief. So the medical community and anybody who's in the Medicaid universe, and again, lots of social service providers get paid through Medicaid dollars. So there's going to see a whole ton of people that are going to feel some immediate relief. But again, when we have almost $17 billion bill backlog as of Wednesday morning, it was 16.7. You know, no matter how much money you throw at that, unless if you're throwing 16.7 at it, there's still going to be people waiting. And that's what kind of keeps me up at night.
You know, what's interesting is after talking to state employees and listening to you and who you're paying, I can see that there's a number of healthcare providers that may be predisposed towards letting state employees come and get healthcare without paying up front, because that had been happening, and some just outright refusals to see state workers.
Yeah, so we're going to be able to pay down about 2/3 of the group health insurance payments. That's huge. Those are exactly those state employees who in the past have been denied medical coverage because the state wasn't paying its bills. So we'll be able to settle about 2/3 of that by the time we run out of money. So the first batch goes to Medicaid. The rest of that money is going to be utilized to pay down group health insurance bills, of which the state employees make up that portion of it. And their families and, you know, so many other people. But long story short, when we spend that $9 billion down, that's what that's going to cover. Medicaid, group health insurance, and we'll still have about 1/3 of those group health insurance bills that are outstanding, not to mention all the new bills that are coming in. But we are in a much better situation today than we were, even a week ago. And certainly by Monday, we will hopefully have cleared out the entirety of the money that came to us from the bond proceeds.
What we were looking at, Susanna, was a 12% interest on $16.2 billion. This is the rough math. Not everything probably was in that 12% category. And replacing it with money borrowed from Wall Street at 3.25% in two loans.
At 3.5.
Oh, it's 3.5? Okay.
Spectacular, right? So we were paying, as you said, 12% on almost all our, on a huge portion of our late payment, interest penalties. It was 12%, but now we've been able to refinance that at 3.5%. And now you understand, Tom, why I kept, sounding the alarm and putting pressure on the governor to get to work on getting this bond deal done. Because, it just didn't make any sense to continue to pay 12% interest when we could be paying 4, which we thought would be the best case scenario, which would have still been great. And we got an even better deal at 3.5. It's just, it was ludicrous.
Well,
we blew $120 million in late payment interest penalties because of his delay. But at least, thank God, we're finally there. And, we're on our way to making some people feel a whole heck of a lot better this Thanksgiving season.
Well, I check Credit Karma for my interest and seeing what I'm doing with my credit rating. And even it on the second pane says, you could save money if you took a loan out to pay for these debts. Credit Karma gives you that.
Like taking loans out to pay for debts. Let me just be clear. I would much prefer to not have to borrow money. But the reality of it is that, when Governor Rauner took office, I've told you this number before, and this is not partisan. This is just math, right? This is what the numbers were. When he took charge of the budget process, he had inherited a terrible $5 billion backlog of bills. That's not his fault. But since he took charge, he more than tripled the bill backlog. So it went from $5 billion to eventually $16.7 billion. He has to take responsibility for that. He refuses to. But that was his spending. It wasn't any other governor's. It wasn't the legislature. The governor is the one who enters into contracts, whoever that governor may be, Democrat or Republican. And so, he loves to blame everybody else for deficit spending. What he doesn't like to tell the public is that he's the only one who can do that spending. And much of the spending was actually not authorized by the legislature, at least $2.8 billion that he refuses to account for. And so, it's not just me saying this, there are representatives from the Republican Party who are demanding and who are speaking up now saying, why did you spend $2.8 billion of, without authorization? Where did you spend it? These are questions that I think taxpayers deserve answers to. And most importantly, just take responsibility for it. Stop trying to blame everybody else for that, because eventually that money has to be paid back. So when you talk about borrowing, we don't want to borrow, but the governor, by running up a $16.7 billion bill backlog, essentially borrowed from unwilling lenders. Those are all the people who have been waiting all this time to get paid. They lent us the money, not because they wanted to, but because he made them by not paying them. And on top of that, we were paying 12% interest on a lot of these payments. It was insane.
It's right now when you talked about unauthorized payments, because I was looking at a string with your name in it on social media involving paying these bills, and the Department of Corrections employees saying, where I've retired and I still haven't received my back pay. And sure. You say there was no authorization, and somebody heard say money was spent without authorization. You're going, too bad it wasn't for the Department of Corrections back pay. We're almost out of time, and there's something else that I think's important, and you just talked about it. $6.7 billion. The harsh fact is, without the Transparency Debt Act, we probably wouldn't know that, in fact, it's probably a lot worse for agencies that have bills that are coming your way.
Yeah, hey, 16.7, not 6.
16.
Yeah, so we finally passed the Debt Transparency Act, and by the way, it was probably the most bipartisan effort you have seen yet this entire legislative session, right? So next time your audience hears the governor say that, this is just the Democrats picking on him, and that, Comptroller Mendoza is just a big partisan. Let me just remind everybody that it was a beautiful bipartisan showing in favor of taxpayers being able to know what and how the government is spending their money. And I couldn't be prouder. This is the largest transparency reform measure in the history of our office. It's going to finally allow the state of Illinois to begin to know how the government is spending their money. And by that, I mean the legislators as well as taxpayers, right? You should know how your money is being spent. And I, as your state chief fiscal officer, should be able to see how the rest of the state is spending your money. And up to now, believe it or not, as crazy as it sounds, I only had limited visibility on the state's checkbook. Hopefully starting January, that will change.
Illinois Town Comptroller Susana Mendoza. Susana, can't tell you much. I appreciate your time. Can you hold tight for a second?
Thanks. Hey, Tom.
Hey, wait, you're going to be in Carbondale, what, Tuesday?
On the bipartisanship of it, we won that override of the governor's veto by 164 to 3 votes.
Right.
Only 3 people voted against it. Every other Republican said this is the right thing to do. So I'm super proud of that.